You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Well, last week, we talked about it's not that complicated in the relationship of how to choose a spouse. And we talked about Isaac and Rebecca and how significant that story was in terms of, you know, the right choices in making the right choices in a spouse. And nakita natin, Abraham gave a complicated command to Eleazar to find a spouse for his son. Okay? And nakita natin and how diligent he was in finding a spouse and how prayerful he was in doing that. And so that's a guide for us. If you're single here, if you're looking for a spouse, be prayerful about it. Be diligent in the characteristics that you're looking for. And we saw that in Rebecca's life, how worthy she was, how good of a person she was. She was a servant at heart, willing to go the extra mile without ever compromising on her purity. Okay, and so that's important for the single women here na ganun din yung paghanda natin in terms of preparing for marriage. And how Isaac also was very prayerful. And the Bible is wonderful. I mean, I really, ever since I became a Christian, I've been living my life according to it. Have I lived a perfect life? No. But I make every effort in terms of how I live my life according to its word. And in the Bible, we see good examples. So last week, see Isaac and Rebecca are a good example. But this week, we're going to be talking about Samson and Delilah. Okay, and Samson and Delilah, a lot of people are familiar with the story. Okay, marami tayong ano. Gusto ko sana ng picture kung anong itsura ni Samson eh. And naisip ko lang si Pastor Larry. But anyway, but we see here that in the Bible, we have good examples that we can live according to God's word, but we also see warnings and bad examples on how we can avoid things. And so kahit on both sides, we can really go to the word of God and see how people live their lives. And instead of us going through the same problems, us going through the same complications, that we can see what Samson went through and learn from what he went through, and for us to avoid those things. Okay ba yan? So, yun yung pag-uusapan natin ngayon, Samson and Delilah. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 16. And in reverence to the reading of God's Word, I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. Kaya ako kayo laging sinasabihin na, bring your own Bible, read your Bible. Ang sabi nga ni Charles Spurgeon, a Bible that is well-worn or used up or in shambles, it's a life that is not. Okay? Mahirap sabihin yun sa iPhone mo or sa electronic device that you use. But that's talking about an actual Bible. Na pag binasa mo talaga yan and you live according to it, then your life won't be messed up as the actual copy. Okay? So we're going to start in verse 1. Okay? Read along with me. Okay? Are you there? Kung wala kayong dala, you can just go ahead and read on the screen behind me. After Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, "Let us wait till the light of the morning, then we will kill him." But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he rose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulder and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Verse 4. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Say love. Whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to him, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this encounter with your word once again. I pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you and for you to speak to us today, Lord, that will change us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if it's a warning that you're giving us today, Lord, that we will heed that warning. And if it's an encouragement, I pray, Lord, that we will be encouraged. But throughout this whole thing, I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have your seat. Samson. Okay, we know about his great strength. When nung tumaka siya, he got the gates of the city and actually just ripped it off and brought it up to the hill. Okay, alam natin yan. And really, when you look at the life of Samson and how he's introduced in Judges chapter 13, there was a lot of hope for him. His coming was announced by an angel. Sounds familiar, right? And an angel of John the Baptist came announcing the birth of John the Baptist. Same thing with Samson. The same thing with the birth of Jesus. And so there was a lot of hope attached to him. He was supposed to be a judge, a deliverer of the nation. Okay? A judge was in control, and he was a spokesperson for God. Okay, but and in spite of that, in all of that, there was something. There was one requirement that God had given for Samson, that he was supposed to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite is a vow that people would make. Okay, during that time, it would be a certain season of your life that you would be a Nazarite. And that's your dedication to God. That's your commitment to God that you make. But for Samson, same thing with John the Baptist. He was supposed to be a Nazarite from birth. So from the time of his birth throughout his whole life, he was supposed to live according to these standards that God had set for them. Ano ba yung mga standards na yun? Sabi niya, no wine or hard drink. Okay? Some of us here have been disqualified. Okay? But not that saying that wine and drink is bad, but for him, for someone who's set apart for God, that was the requirement. The next one was no razor on the head. So never getting a haircut. Okay, that's why we know Samson as having long hair. Up to how long his hair was, we really don't know. I don't know. But he had long hair. Never razor, so he probably had a beard as well. Okay, so mahaba yung buhok niya, and that was him being set apart for God. And the last thing is no touching dead things or unclean things. So these are the requirements that God had established in his life. But if you look at his life, if you read Judges chapter 13 to 15, and I suggest that you read that, you can see in those chapters that one by one, he started breaking all those laws. Okay, when he wanted something, he just got it. Okay, he was, in a sense, pretty spoiled. And he lived a selfish life. But you can see it, selfishness. When he encountered one woman, nakita niya, the first words that were quoted in the Bible that he said, "Dad, get that woman for me. She is right in my eyes." Right away, it was about me, 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 I, you know, everything that he could get. It was about that. When he got hungry, okay, when he was walking, he had killed a lion and there was some honey that grew in the carcass of the lion. Okay, and he wasn't supposed to touch a dead animal, but no, instead, he reached into it and ate, which was, again, against his law, against what he was supposed to do. Nung ikakasal siya with that woman, nagpa-party siya with all the drinks and everything. And I'm sure when he had a party, he participated in it. So all the laws that God had set for him, okay, he was breaking. He was living a selfish life. And we can see that in a relationship. Paano natin maano ta? In any relationship, when there's selfishness, it's always going to be complicated. Laging magkakaroon ng complications. But if there's a selfless love, a giving love, then we can see that things can be worked out. Okay? And so makikita natin sa story nito, how, what not to do. Okay? If you want to live a complicated love life, then go ahead and follow the ways of Samson. Okay? Those that follow the ways of Samson, ang tawag natin doon, Samsonites. Yeah. Okay. But if you don't want to follow him, then be a Christian. Be Christ-like. Okay? And we see the examples of that all over the Bible. And so, are you guys ready for the story? I'll give you a background a little bit. Okay? In chapter 16 is the second part of Samson's life. This is the second part. And in the second part, we see two women in his life, the prostitute and Delilah. And in these two women, what started out as him being empowered by God at different times in the first three chapters, when there would be enemies, he would grab hold of a jaw of a donkey. He would be able to kill and defeat his enemies that way because the Spirit of God came into him. Kaya sa buhay natin, okay, in whatever area God has placed you, if you don't have the Spirit of God guiding you and helping you, it's not true love. You'll always fall short. It won't be love that you're talking about because true love can only come from Him. And once we understand that, that's the only time we can actually pass it on to somebody else. And so we see that in his life. In here, in chapter 16, in the second part of his life, there is no mention whatsoever of the Spirit of God anymore. He had lived his life so far away from God, na pagdating natin sa chapter 16, there is no more any mention of God, of the Spirit of God guiding him or empowering him to do something. That's a sad picture. And that's not what I want from you. This is a sad picture of what life is like without the Spirit of God. Okay, so in our relationships, I pray for all of us that we will never forget that it's the Spirit of God that should guide us in our relationships with one another and with that significant person. Kasi kung hindi, it will always be perverted. It will end up being perverted. Okay, so we're going to look at the story now. Okay, are you guys ready to hear the story, although we're familiar with it? All right, we'll start with verse 1. After Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. Okay, pretty simple. Okay, he saw what he wanted, and he just took it. Okay, makikita natin dyan yung selfishness niya. And his only desire was to satisfy his own desires. There was no concern about, you know, what was supposed to be right. Remember, he was supposed to be a judge. He was a representative of God to the people of Israel. So instead of him choosing what's right, gagawin lang niya kung ano yung gusto niya. You can see there's no discipline, there's no discernment whatsoever. And that shouldn't be, especially for him who was supposed to be leading his nation. Okay? And we see that problem for him. But what can we say about this man? Okay? Pag nakikita mo yan, yung buhay niya, he was supposed to be a leader. Sometimes, you know, we look at this story and we think about our own leaders. And we think about, you know, I have a problem with certain leaders that don't have self-control, that will do whatever they want with whatever resources that's available to them. And we see that story, okay? Well, hindi naman tayo elections, no? Elections are in a few years. But how do we choose our leaders? When there's someone that doesn't have any self-control, babae dito, babae doon, kuha dito, kuha doon, okay? How, that's the type of leaders we want. Okay, now, okay, sabi niyo, oh, sama naman ng pastor natin. Okay, parang judgmental naman. Okay, well, that's in terms of our leaders, but how about us? Andali natin magturo, ang sama niya. Okay? Pero tayo, as leaders, we are leaders. We have leadership and we have influence on a lot of different people. For me, as a father, I have leadership over my family. But if I don't have self-control, then how am I going to lead them properly? The same way Samson wasn't able to lead properly because he wasn't a good leader. He didn't have self-control. It was just all about him and his desires. Okay? The world will say that, you know, casual sex is okay. Friends with benefits, okay. No strings attached. All these relationships that people are getting into, it's all being promoted. I remember in college, it was a drive to, you know, for one of our teammates to lose his virginity. That was a drive. It was the whole team was pushing for that. Yun yung talagang parang, come on! Lalaki ka ba? Yun yung tinutulak. And yet, is it really what's important? When we look at God's word, we have to value our future spouse. When we're talking about purity, that's what you're thinking of. Okay, when you're thinking of purity and being pure for your spouse, that is the greatest gift that you can give your spouse. Can you imagine with all the pressures? With all the pressures for premarital sex and all these things that society is feeding our children. Okay, they're feeding it to our children. Can if someone is following God's ways and they get up there in the altar and then they go and say, now you may kiss the bride. And that would be the first time they would ever kiss. I'm not saying that kissing is wrong. Okay? It's nice. But if that's the standard that you're setting, how wonderful of a gift will that be to your spouse? You know what? Instead of doing all of those things, I have reserved myself to you. Di ba maganda yon? Now, if you've... Okay, thank you dun sa mga apat na nga dima dito sa harap. But you know what? Sometimes you feel bad because, I've done something. I can't take it back. What am I supposed to do? Remember, when our lives are in Christ, we are a new creation. So all the things that are in the past is in the past. He is making us new. And we can always just turn to Him. And as we turn to Him, everything, it's a clean slate. All our sins are nailed on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have with Him. And so when we look at these things, when we look at His life, paano siya nagkamali? I mean, why? What can we do? We'll look at the story. We'll continue in verse 4. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Ay, nako. Sabi nga ni Tom Jones. Why, oh why? Delilah. Okay. Delilah was, you know, in all these three women that he had encountered with, the Timnite woman in verse 14, the prostitute and Delilah, all of them were supposed to be off limits for Samson. Why? Because they were Philistines. The exact same people that he was, yung kalaban nila, yung dapat nilang kalaban, yun yung sinasamahan pa niya, yun pa yung gusto niya. You can see that it was just all about him and what he wanted. And here he was, and it says that he loved. Titingnan ba natin, talaga bang mahal ni Samson si Delilah? Titingnan natin sa storya kung ano yung nangyari dito. Okay? But we can see that somehow there was something about Samson that instead of loving what God wanted for him, he ended up loving things that were opposite from what God wanted for his life. We'll continue in verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how we might bound, you might be bound that one could subdue you. Okay? Grabe. Nagmamahalan ba talaga sila? You know, again, the foundation of their relationship, right from the very beginning, it's about selfishness, what I can get from the other one. Okay? It was lies, deceit, and seduction. When we look at this story more and more, it's about ano yung makukuha niya. For Samson, it was just to get the girl. It was just about to get the girl. She may have been beautiful, but it was just all about that. But for Delilah, it was all about the 1,100 pieces of silver. Okay? And how I'm going to seduce this man. We don't know. It's just 1,100. Sinasabi dito, lords of the Philistines. Apparently, during that time, there were 5 different regions. So there were 5 different leaders. So actually, when we're talking about this, it's 5,500 pieces of silver. Just get his secret. I want to find out what his secret is so we can defeat him. And so here he was. Alam mo, halatang obvious. Diba? Halatang obvious. Naniloloko lang siya. But for him, it was okay. Just as long as I'm going to get the girl. Can you imagine this? Do you see the seduction here? Now, if you tell me, you're going to get something. Let's just end there. Pero look at this. Kung itagalog mo siya, pakisabi ang sikreto mo para maitali ka ng aking mga kaibigan at magulpi ka. That's the word of God, okay? Obvious. Obviously, we're just trying to seduce. Diba? That's all what she was trying to get. It wasn't about love. It wasn't about a relationship. It wasn't about growing in love with one another. It was about what I can get. Okay? 5,500 pieces of silver. Amazing. I don't know how much that would be equivalent to today's language, but maybe it's about 2.5 million. I don't know. So ano yung secret? What is it? What's the secret? So, you know, when we see this, when we look at their reaction, you know, lust is just selfish. It's whatever you're going to get, whatever you can get. But with true love, it's whatever you can give. It's whatever you can give of yourself. We see this in Jesus Christ. We see this how he gave himself up for us, sacrificing himself so that we can live eternally. Okay? Pero titingnan natin, ano ba talaga yung love? Okay, we see this mistake. I want us, this is the type of love, and we see this in weddings. Speaking of a wedding, you know, just this past weekend, there was a couple that, you know, grew up in church. And the first time that Pastor Steve did the wedding, and he said, now you may kiss the bride, that was the first time that they kissed. What a wonderful gift. Okay, and so the foundations of that marriage is starting at the right foot. Okay, but ito yung foundation ng love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never ends. In different translations, it would say the love never fails. And that's the picture that I want us to have of what true love is. That's the picture that I want you to have. That's what I want to be able to give to my family and this church. Is that what love truly is. All of these things, nakita natin, it's not the way Samson was loving. It's not the way Delilah was loving. But what that's the example that we're supposed to be following. But obviously in this story, we don't see it. In Judges 16, verse 15, we'll continue with the story. And she said to him, how can you say that you love me, that I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. Ano yung three na lies na sinasabi ni Delilah dito? Una, sabi niya, paano ko matatali para mabugbog kita ng mga kaibigan ko? Okay? So, ang nangyari, nandun sila sa apartment ni Delilah. Okay? And sabi niya, you know, pag itali ako ng new bowstrings. Bowstrings. Get seven bowstrings, and if you tie me, that will keep me bound. So, tinali nga siya. Seven bowstrings sa apartment ni Delilah. Okay? And then, Samson, nandiyan na yung mga kaibigan ko. Okay? And then he broke free. He just easily broke free and ran away. Okay, so that was the first lie. The second lie, okay, what's the secret? Okay, get new ropes that have never been used. So again, they went back to Delilah's apartment and she actually tied him up and then he was able to get free once the enemies came. Okay. The third time, ang sabi sa kanya, you know what? You know my long hair? Get seven braids of my hair and tie me up and put a pin on it. And once you put a pin on it, okay, that's going to keep me. It got closer to the truth. It was something about his hair. Okay, but he was lying. Do you think Samson really loved Delilah? The whole time he was lying to her. There was no love. Sinasabi niyang, you know, tama si Delilah, you have not loved me. How can you say you love me when you're not revealing your secret to me? Yun yung sinasabi niya. So, wala talagang pagmamahal. And Delilah, the whole time, was thinking of the 5,500 pieces of silver that she was going to get. So, she kept on and on and on to it. You know, when we look at this story, this is pure manipulation on Delilah's part. In verse 16, we see here, and when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. she just kept pressing hard, manipulating, trying to get her own way, okay, saying all these different things. And that's something, sabihin natin, ang sama naman ni Delilah. But how many of us as Christians, we also still manipulate? Oh, come to church with me. You cute guy, cute girl, oh, come to church with me. What are you doing? You're manipulating them. Okay? I'm not saying don't invite your friends and don't come. Certainly people have come here in church and have received a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. But why are we doing things? No, I'll treat you to lunch. Just come. Many times, nagmamanipulate pa rin tayo. We're doing the same thing. We're not that much different. You know what? That's why with our children and raising them, we're making sure that this manipulating spirit will not develop in their lives. How do we know this? With children, it's when they get something that they want, what do? They cry and whine. Tama? As babies, if they're hungry, they're crying. If they're dirty, they're crying. Tama? Wala kayong alam na bata? Ganun sila. Ganun lang sila. And then we start training them. You teach them not to be manipulative. You know, with my children, I have five kids. We teach them that. We don't, if they do a tantrum, there's no such thing as a tantrum in our family. Of course, they try it. They start with it. But we teach them, you know what? I don't understand what you're saying when you're talking that way. Okay? Hindi kita maintindihan. And so, of course, they're already crying. And then, well, calm down. When you're calm, then we can talk. When you're calm, we can talk. What is it do you want? Can't understand, sorry. Can't understand whining. I can't understand manipulation. Because I know that's what they're trying to do. When I give in to that, if I give in to what they want right at that moment, they'll say, oh, this works. I'll do it again. Next time in public. Next time when it's in Toys R Us in the second floor. When everyone will see, oh, yung pastor, tinan mo yung anak niya. Nagtatantrum. Ay, hindi naman. Hindi marunong magturo nung. Nakakaya naman yung pastor. Namamanipulate siya. We're that way. And so we train them. We teach them not to do that. Because we don't want them to grow up. They're applying for a job. They're right there with the HR interview. And said, you know what? You know, you have a very good resume. And it just unfortunately the thing that we need for the job, it meant you're falling short. What are they gonna do if we don't teach them about manipulation and tantrums and stuff? They can't go down and say, give me this job. That's embarrassing. And I just embarrassed myself. We can't be that way. And obviously, Samson and Delilah, yun lang yung iniisip nila. Get whatever, however I can get it. And that's not what a love story is all about. A love story is you giving, you sacrificing. And that's done with the right attitude and a right perspective of who God is in our lives. So we'll continue with this story. So how can you love me? Sinasabi niya. And he told her all his heart. Say all his heart. And said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. Right there, he's revealing his secret. Tama? He's revealing a secret. Cut my hair and my strength will be gone. I've been a Nazarite since my mother's womb. He's also lying. Remember, he broke all those vows. Yung buhok na lang niya yung natatabi niya. But all the other vows, as a Nazarite since my mother's womb, no, you didn't. Hey, you fall short. You fell short. So now I'm going to give you a short haircut. Okay? Sabi niya, if my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money into her hands. Come on, give it to me. The lords gave her. He gave his heart. Everyone here today, where have you given your heart? Be careful where you give your heart. Both sides, depending on who you give your heart, it can be a positive thing, it can be a negative thing. It can be a positive thing when we give our hearts to God, then we've given it to someone who will take care of it. If we give our hearts to someone that's not God, they'll play with you. They'll play with your heart. So you say to them, quit playing games with my heart. No. Be careful who we give our hearts to. You know, I love what a preacher once said. You know which is the most valuable sex organ that a person has? It's their heart. It's not sex that brought Samson down. It wasn't sex. It was his heart being given to the wrong person. And ano yung ginawa niya? Wala lang, just to abuse it. Once you give your heart to someone, you give everything to that person. And once you give it to the wrong person, voila, they'll play with you. Believe me. We've all been through that. Us playing with someone's heart, us being played with. And that's not in a position of a godly marriage. That's not in a position of a godly relationship. Pag binigay mo na, wala na. Okay? How do we battle this? What's the issue here? Okay? It's always a battle about our hearts and our passions. Kung saan yung heart mo, nasaan yung passion mo, then dun yung labanan. Okay? The enemy will try to play with it and steal it and do all those different things. But how do we fight this? And again, we go back to the Word of God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. When we look at our lives, you know, paano malalabanan ng impurity? Is it to get away from impure people? No, how are we supposed to reach them? Okay, how do you battle coarse joking or green jokes? By saying clean jokes? No, it doesn't remove the bad jokes. Right? It's still going to be corny. All right? How do you fight this? It says there in the last word, thanksgiving. Sinasabi niya, when there's thanksgiving in our hearts, that means that we're content. When we're content about something, we're not after anything else. Singles, if you're content with God and the season that God has placed you in, there won't be a need for getting something that's apart from His will. Married, if you're married here, if you're content in your marriage, there's no looking at other people. There's no, you know, wanting another car or another, whatever it is. If you're content with where you have. So now I say be content. That's true. We all get that, right? Be content. Right? But we can't be content with sin. When there's sin in our lives, if there's something that you want, I thought of this earlier because I said, you know, I'm content. I'm content with my wife. I love my 5 children. I'm content with where I'm at, my house and everything. But sabi ko, I'm content. I'm not content about one thing. And I said, this. I'm not content with this. I'm not. I can accept it and live a certain lifestyle, but I can fight it as well. Whatever you're content with, whatever you tolerate, you will never defeat. If there's sin in your life, if there's something that you want removed in your life, then you do something about it. Okay? But if it's according to God's ways, then we follow that. But if it's not according to God's ways, you can't be content with that. Samson had lived a life content with the sin that he was experiencing. And that led to his destruction. For us, church, friends, we have to be content with where God wants for us. And if we're content with that, there's no room for sin. I love what Pastor John Piper says. Sinasabi niya, God is more glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. You know, this is the motor that drives my ministry as a pastor. It affects everything that I do. I love what he says there. When he is satisfied with God, when he is fully satisfied with Him, there's nothing else he needs. When we're fully satisfied with Him, what else do you need? You have everything. That's why our life should be given, our heart should be given to our God. When we give it to somebody else, although I've given it to my wife and she takes care of me. She loves me. Same thing. She's given me her heart and I value it and I take care of it. And I love them. My 5 kids, I love them. But am I a perfect dad? Am I a perfect husband? Look at them shaking their heads. If you give your heart to a person, they will fall short. They will hurt you. What do you do then? You forgive. You forgive me, right? Anak? Okay. Thank you. You forgive. You move on. But if you give it to someone who will abuse you, wala na. Paglalaroan ka lang. And you know what? Once your heart is hardened with what's happening in your life, pag masyado naging matigas na yun, alam mo, pinaglalaroan ko na, hindi mo pa rin alam. Pag manhid ka na, you know, when pag namanhid yung braso mo pag nakatulog, di ba? And then you don't feel anything. Okay? Have that ever happened to you? Okay, I have a lot of weight on my shoulder sometimes. All this weight on, and I sleep and I wake up and about a minute, I don't feel anything. And I like playing with my hand during that time. When I wake up that way, pag ganyan mo, I slap it, I poke it, I don't feel anything. And then the blood starts flowing again. From my heart, the blood starts flowing, and then I can't do that anymore because I get the feeling back. But right when I'm doing that, I'm pinching, I'm not feeling anything. Pag manhid ka na, miski niloloho ka na, wala kang mararamdaman. You won't feel it. And they'll abuse you, they'll do all those. So again, please, be careful who you give your heart to. Okay? Now, when we give our hearts to the right person, and we are content, and that's the only way we can, when we give it to Christ. When we give our lives to Him, He will take care of you. Sure, certainly problems will happen. Issues will come. But He is always there with you. And He'll take care of you. So yun yung mangyayari. Be content with Him. Right? Let there be thanksgiving and contentment. And if we do that, but again, not with sin. So we'll continue on with the story. She made him sleep on his knees and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. See? Okay? As soon as she got what she wanted, she got the money, she got the hair cut off. Okay? She began to torment him, not realizing that she was already tormenting him from the very beginning. And his strength left him. And she said, The Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. Okay? Samson was now assuming that what he was able to do in the past, he'll be able to do again. I have been able to escape back then. I'm going to be able to do it again. Okay? But here is one of the saddest sentences or phrase in the Bible. He assumed that, but here's what happened. But he did not know that the Lord has left him. When you live a life that you're walking away from Him, walking away, walking away, walking away, God will just leave you. And at that moment when he needed Him, he was assuming on his own strength, pero wala na yung Panginoon. Hindi na siya nakatakas. Okay? He was not able to leave that. Because in this situation, really, he kept going away from God. His selfishness and pride got to Samson. That's probably one of the saddest things. When you're seeing someone in their life who have been walking away from God little by little, and now you don't see any trace of God in their lives anymore. And they've gotten to the point that they're so hard, it becomes harder for them to come back. But God is gracious. God is gracious. Here we continue with the story. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaved. Okay? When we allow ourselves just to get what we want and chase after what we want, apart from God's will, it will blind you. And that's what happened to him. He got blinded. Because for him, lust is blind. When love is selfless, love blinded him from his situation. And that's not, I'm praying for all of you. I'm praying for all of us, actually. That we will not go so far away from God that we can never turn back to Him. There's some people here right now that somehow, parang you've some have taken a few small steps. Some have gone much farther. But the grace of God is extended to all of us. Even in Samson's life. That here we see him. Then Samson, after being mocked and abused and beaten up, okay, he was beaten up. His eyes were gouged out. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once. O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. He was crying out once again to his God. Medyo selfish yung ano lang niya. Selfish lang yung kanyang motive pa rin, is to avenge me. Okay, avenge my eyes. But still, he went to the right source. We move on. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested. And he leaned on his weight against them, his right hand on one side and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his lifetime. God still used him to defeat his enemy for deliverance, for the Israelites to be set free from the control of the Philistines. And it was said that in that house they were making fun of him, making him do certain things. And in that house there were 3,000 of the Philistines were there, including the 5 lords that had paid Delilah. Okay, ewan ko kung nandun si Delilah. But there were 3,000 there, and when he broke that, his death led to more deaths or killing their enemy than his whole lifetime. You know what? I pray for all of us that it won't require our own death for God to be able to use us to defeat our enemies. I pray, Lord, that we learn from his lesson, that we rely on the death of Jesus on the cross. And in the Old Testament, when you look at the Old Testament, it's really a foreshadow of the things of what Christ will do for us. When Samson lived a sinful life, we saw that Jesus lived a sinless life. When we saw that Samson was compromising all throughout his life, we saw Jesus never compromising, even when he was tempted. When Samson died to redeem Israel, Jesus died to redeem the whole world. And that's something that we can hold on today. No matter what your life was like in the past, when you turn back to Jesus, he can restore things. He was able to at least restore the dignity of Samson's life, but he can restore the dignity of all of our lives because of his death. Let's all stand up and pray. Ang ganda ng picture, no? You can live a life that is far from God, but you can turn back to Him and He will restore things. God has placed a lot of purpose in our lives. Marami siyang gustong gawin sa buhay natin. Good things that He has planned out for us. But because some of decisions that we've made, sometimes we don't get to experience all the good things because we've turned away from Him. But as we turn back to Him, He can restore things in our lives. We don't need to die anymore. Actually, we do. We die to ourselves every day. We make a choice that instead of following my selfish desires, whatever it may be, whatever it is for you, that's between you and God. Whatever it is that's keeping you from His purpose in your life. Kung ano man yon, it could be a relationship. It could be food. It could be work. It could be a house that you're trying to, you know, hold on to. Whatever it may be. If it's keeping you away from God, then that's not so important. And if you let go of those things and turn back to Him, He will give you eternal life. Not just that, He will give you everything that you missed out on. And it doesn't require your death except the choice of dying every day to our selfish desires. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Whatever it is that's keeping us from You, may be a relationship, maybe finances, a job, a dream job. Lord, if we miss out on You, Lord, we don't want it. I pray, Lord, that You pour out Your Spirit in our lives. The same way that the first part of Samson's life, Your Spirit was on him. I pray, Lord, that we will never miss out on that. That we will never come to the point that as we look to You, that You're not there. But Lord, You are faithful. You are a faithful God. The death of Jesus has covered the sins of the world. And Your promise is that You are always there, that You will never leave us nor forsake us. If there's certain things in your life that you need to let go of, whatever it is, God, I know that God is speaking to you right now. Whatever that is, and you're saying, God, I help me. Help me let go of this. Help me let go of this relationship. Help me let go of this lifestyle. Help me let go. If that's you, go ahead and lift up your hands and we'll pray. I see those hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. God is right there. Heavenly Father, You see these hands. They're declaring right now, Lord, that that is not important. As they're lifting up their hands, it's a symbol of them letting go and giving their lives fully to You. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You meet them, that You hold them, embrace them, that You fill that void that's missing in their lives, that it's not in anything, but it's only in You. And as we meet You, Lord, that we will be content, that we will be grateful just to have You. And with You, we have everything. So we thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful grace and mercy that is new for us every morning. And I pray, Lord, that we will make a decision every day to follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.